Happy Easter. Had a good day so far? It's sunny, isn't it? We like this. It's a good time of year. So as James said, my name is Matt. I'm part of the leadership here at Maybridge. And additional welcome to you if you're here for the first time, you're visiting, whatever. It's just great to have you here. I hope that you are feeling relaxed. Guess what I'm going to talk to you about this evening on Easter Sunday? It's going to be a shock. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Before that, just a quick discussion question to talk about with the person next to you. And just thinking about your own life, okay, just for a few moments, what's the best thing that's ever happened? In your own life, what's the best thing that's ever happened? Okay, just take a moment, share that with the person next to you. Doesn't need to be super deep. Okay, let's draw back together. Most people are smiling and talking. Hopefully that means something good has happened in your life at some point, which is excellent. I was trying to think about this myself. I boiled it down in my own life to a few things. Marrying Naomi, my wife, that was a big highlight. The births of our three children, that was up there. And the 2005 Champions League final when Liverpool came from three down to beat AC Milan on penalties. I'm not sure what order I'd put those things in. But those were the big three I came up with. But actually, there is something even better than any of that. And here's the story. And this is told via John's Gospel, which is in the Bible. It's an eyewitness account, basically, of what happened. And there's this little story, which we're going to go through. And it begins like this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, that's Jesus' little band of followers, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, just a few days earlier than this, Jesus had been killed. I mean, he was very, 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 very dead. As dead as you can be. He was also buried in a tomb with a massive rock over the door and a team of guards outside. And then John tells us, and he's not the only person from the time who says this, Jesus came and stood among them. What? Jesus was dead, extremely dead. We know that this does not happen, right? Everybody knows this. But everybody there was so shocked, as you would have been. They checked his hands and his side. And yes, it was definitely him, this man they knew well, who had been crucified and then come back to life. What a story, famous story. Some people hear this and they read about this and they go, okay, well, this resurrection thing, it happened 2,000 years ago. I mean, they must have been more gullible then, these ancient people. They'd believe anything, of course. No. These guys were all first century Jews, and the Jewish belief system, both then and now, and at any point in history, was not prepared for this at all. This was outside the box completely. People did not rise from death in that cultural moment and in their beliefs any more than now. They would struggle to believe this just as much as we do. Nobody was sat around looking at their watch, waiting for Jesus to come back to life. It was a massive and exciting shock. A little bit later, the story introduces somebody who is just like I would have been, and you may well be like this too. It says this, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe.'" I don't know what Thomas was doing when they all saw him. Maybe he had a dentist appointment or something. But he wasn't there when everybody else was there. And just imagine a situation. All his friends are saying, "Thomas, mate, you are not going to believe what's happened. Jesus is alive again." Now, just imagine that was you. Imagine maybe you're in a pub with your group of friends. There's like 10 of them, like not one or two, there's like 10 of them around you just at the table, and they're all your friends. But they're saying, all of them are saying that your other friend that you know died has come back from death. Are they mad? Is it a wind-up? So Thomas says, "Yeah, okay, hold on. I hear what you're saying, but I need some proof. I need to see this myself. I need to check him over, or I'm just not buying it." Totally understandable, isn't it? But guess what happens next? A week later, I love that it's a week. Like Thomas had to deal with this for a week. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, notice that Jesus has no problem with people asking questions. He doesn't say, "Oh, Thomas, you know, it's just throw your brain out the window. Don't think about it. Just believe." Doesn't say that at all. No, come and look at my hands. I was nailed to the cross, you know. Look at my side. That's where they stuck a spear in to make sure I was dead. Here's everything that you need, Thomas. Now, we might read that and go, okay, well, that's all very well for Thomas. Okay, if this happened, it's all very well for him. He was there. He could see for himself. He could take a good look and get his evidence. I can't do that. We can't do that. It's 2,000 years later. How am I now supposed to hear this story and get on board with any of this? Look at that last thing Jesus says. It's very curious. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What's going on is this. Jesus expects that people will believe in the resurrection without seeing him alive in person. He expects that's going to happen. In fact, if you read what Jesus says any time in the gospel accounts after the resurrection, he totally assumes that loads and loads and loads of people will believe this without seeing him. He believes that people will be persuaded. And he wasn't wrong. Of course, throughout history, loads of people have come to believe in him without, obviously, having seen him in person. Billions of people, in fact. Jesus expected that people would look into this, people who were not there, and that many people would come to believe. Because it was about more than seeing with your eyes. It was about being persuaded in the mind and the heart, a spiritual reset, not just a powerful intellectual argument. Once Thomas got it, once he believed it, he was with all the other disciples in that he spent the rest of his life telling people what happened, even under the threat of death himself. He wasn't just convinced, like, "Oh yes, this is true, how interesting." He was excited about this. He thought this was amazing. People had to know. The world needed to know. Why was that? Because Thomas, like the others, suddenly realized what this meant. When Jesus had died on the cross, days before this story, it was to take on our sin, our wrongdoing, our selfishness, the bad stuff, a price we could never pay. The resurrection is the way that we know the transaction went through. It's the receipt. It's like when a criminal has done their time in jail, they've completely paid their sentence. It's right that they can walk out in freedom. Jesus must have completed the sentence on our behalf because on Easter Sunday, he walks out free from death. The resurrection is God's way of stamping the words "paid in full" across history. And the promise contained in the resurrection is that one day God will make everything right. That one day everything sad will become untrue. Every tear will be wiped away. Every ounce of death and the things associated with it will be taken away. Those are the things that will die. In other words, like we saw in that video, there is a hope. There is a future to be excited about. Whatever's going on in the world right now that's crazy. There is stuff to have peace about. There is stuff to have joy about and live in the light of. Yes, it sounds too good to be true. In my experience, when somebody is exploring Christianity, there's a moment when they go, "This is what? This is amazing. This is too good to possibly be real." That's when you know it's starting to go in. But it is. It is true. The resurrection demonstrates that God loves us relentlessly. The crucifixion and the resurrection together were part of God's plan from the beginning. The whole thing was God saying, "I love you enough to come and get you, to fix this." And it's not a Disney movie love, where there's lots of sort of sugar and nice words. It's blood and guts and heroic self-sacrifice love. The resurrection puts the full stop on it. It's done. There's no more debate, no more uncertainty, no more work. There's nothing more God could do to demonstrate his love for us. And that's why every Easter, like this one, the resurrection is a celebration that deserves joy and singing songs and chocolate and even a trip to Nando's if you're James. But it throws down the question, of course, how are you going to respond? Do you need more evidence? Is it an intellectual thing? Have you looked into it? Do you feel like you need God to do something in you that activates some sort of faith or something? Or are you somebody who's here and you've been at church for a lot of Easters and you know this stuff, you've known it for a while, but for some reason, the attrition of life means you've lost your enthusiasm. If that's you, maybe it's time to rediscover the great news and how your life makes much more sense in light of it. We'd love to pray for you if that's you as well. But for now, have a fantastic Easter. Know that God really does love you. He's paid the price of your sin in full, in a way that is very hard to understand and get your head round, but it's an incredible thing. And we're going to continue to worship him this evening. So back to Alice and the band.